over the Yom Tov. Over the Yom Tov, it's important to chazer. And as we said, these Gemara is going to come up over and over again with Hashem. And then also to try to do Lamed Vav, or with Aleph and Lamed Beis, at least the key is. The Sugi Lamed Vav with Aleph and Lamed Beis is the famous Sugi of Slav. But a lot of it has to do with Shmias and Truas and Nisus. I don't want to get bogged down. I want to cover the Brochus again. So from Yirtz Hashem, we'll do Lamed Vav, which is a difficult daf, but we'll do it quickly. Very quickly. So that we can get Lamed Vav and base at the bottom and discuss back to Inyanei Brochus. There's one carryover between the issues of Tzaf and Orlan and Brochus, so we want to make sure that that carryover, that's Lamed Vav and base. But even the sugi of Abdaf and this little sugi of Ishtane comes back on the Zayim Aleph of Kaisis Chita, comes back on Tupel Yeveshta, on Lamed Chesem and Beis. The sugi of Refuah is again on Chesem Aleph by Shvisa. A lot of the sugis keep on going. And you have Meishlokis is boiled fruit and vegetables, so that also is the part of the sugya of Ishtane. Good. So let's just finish up what we began to discuss, what we discussed yesterday. And that is that in the sugya of Ishtane, so we're looking at the sugya of Ishtane itself, the sugya itself, the Shaka of Atari developed in two parts. The second part we're really not going into right now because it's not really our sugya right now. The second part is the issue of kimcha desare, if something is damaging but it gets hanor immediately, to the make a bracha. That's the sugya of kimcha desare. The first sugya is the sugya of Ishtane. For us, Ishtane is the second sugi of Ishtane, because Shem and Zayas is also sugi of Ishtane. So you already learned that there are, in the sugi of Ishtane, we already know we're going to be dividing sugi of Ishtane at least into two parts. One is Ishtane Lemal Yusa, and the other is where they came on the Ishtane B'mil Sekoi. Right? So it came on the Ishtane B'mil Sekoi, it's the Machlekes Rav Nachman Rav Yehuda. And that sugi of Rav Nachman Yehuda, we're dividing up into two issues. Number one is how do we understand the sugya, the machlekes of Nachman Yehuda. Number two is exactly what is the subject of the machlekes of Nachman Yehuda. So we dealt with the first yesterday. Rav Nachman says kevan v'ishtane ishtane, and Rav Yehuda says kevan v'ishtane v'mil sekoi. And we explain the machlekes of Nachman Yehuda in three ways. We explain it according to Rashi, then according to the Ritva and Rav Meir Yonah, and the third is Rav Meir Yonah in the Rif. If you look at the Ramban of the Daf Lamed Ches on the base, I think you'll see that what we learn pshat in the Rav Meir Yonah in the Rif is also the Ramban. So what are the three shittas? According to Rashi, we said that Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda are arguing as what is the getter of pri. That Rav Yehuda says, came to heaven, it's still a peri. So I take a fruit and I chop it up and I into a powder, it's still a pri. And Rav Nachman says, came to shtani shtani. Rav Nachman argues that something can be, if Rav Yehuda argues, something can be a pri for one of two reasons. It can be a pri either because this is what grows, this is the teri that Baruch Hu gave you, or it can be a pri because this is the way that people intend to use it. Either of those would be kaveya something to being a tree. That's going to be important for us in the sugya of kuru. Kuru is going to develop the idea that the part of a tree changes. So at what point do we say that this part of the tree is a tree, not a tree? But right now we're not talking about identifying the tree on the tree. That's the next two sugyas. Exactly what is the tree? When I have several options to what a tree is. When there are many parts of the tree that I eat. So what's the tree? That's the next sugya. It's kuru, and that's slav. Right now there's no question that we know what the tree is. We know the tree of the wheat is the kernel. Right? The question is, if I now change the kernel into different forms, is that still called a tree? Can I still say that's a tree? Because Baruch Hu's creation. Or at some point they say, Kevin Nishtani Yishtani. It's not the tree anymore. So according to Rashi, that seems to be what the Machlokes is. When Chazal came in, the Nusach of tree, did they mean something that was unadulterated by humans? Exactly what the Baruch Hu gave me? Or does it mean it can be something that is somewhat changed? That's what the Rabbi Yehuda says. If it comes from the, if it's a different form or shape of the tree, and if it is, or if it's derech hilosei, either way, it's still a buried tree. All right. So that's the, it's Rashi. From the Ritva Rabbi Yehuda, it sounds like that. That Rav Nachman is saying, Kevan Ishtane Ishtane, that simply the fact that something changed and is no longer what the Rebbe Shlomo presented, that in itself is a reason it's no longer called, no longer gets the original bracha. And Rebbe just says, no, Kevan Ishtane no Sakoi. Does not seem to focus on whether it's called a tree or not. We suggested the machlekes might be what it's called tri adam. It's called tri eight. Is this what the Kadosh Baruch Hu presented to you? So Yehuda says, yeah, it's a different form. I painted it. I chopped it up. And that one says no. So that seems to be according to, now, in terms of the pshat of the sugya, so they disagree as to whether Rav Nachman's response to Rava is that a dichui ba'alma, or is that defining the issue of the sugya? Right. And then we pointed out that because the Rif has a strange phrase, the Rif at the end of the sugya says that we should paskin like Rav Nachman, because people don't normally eat kemah. So both the Rif, Rabbi Yonah, jumps on the Rif, and I think the Rif also says that. Why is the Rif bringing in a svara which is not part of the sugya? So, because of that, Rabbi Yoyin has difficulty with the Rif. At the end, Rabbi Yoyin has a suggestion in the Rif that this it, that the Kevan Nishane B'mil Sakoi is a little bit different. Kevan Nishane, it still maintains the original bracha. The Mil Sakoi doesn't mean it's still the original pre, but the original pre Adam. But it still maintains the original Nusach of the Brach. So the Beriyyadis Pshat in the Rif is that Rabbi Yehuda holds, Kevan Nishtane, the Mil Sakoi, Chazal's Bracha, is for this fruit and any other forms it will take. And Rav Nachman says that if it takes a form that people don't normally eat, the Chazal did not have that in mind in the original bracha. It was Yotzeh Michlal bracha. Yotzeh, in fact, the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yoyna is Yotzeh Michlal, the Takana Rishona. Yosef Mechlal had din rishon. So you see that the Rebbe Yoina is not learning pshat that it's is it a pre the pri adama? No, yes, my father in Mishnah is a visual bracha still applying to this. So that's what we explained. The Rebbe Yoina fits in to the mahalach that we developed that Chazal are misaking brachas for various aspects in the bria. So one aspect of the bria is a shtane. Chazal are misaking or a dover tomen we call it. The misaking and bracha, the Tzedek Hashem gave us more than what meets the eye. So the din rishon, that's the bar if you hate. So yosem mechlal din rishon, it's you're not eating the pre, Chazal didn't have in mind kemach, but on the other hand, you don't see the yishtanei lemel yusa yet, because only kemach, or kemach, it's only for yusa, it's inedible. So, apparently, the machlekes reader of Nachman is that when Chazal were not misaking, or when Chazal were misaking a bracha for yishtanei, so, what bracha do they have in mind for an intermediary step which is not edible at all? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Chazal and Misakin, they make Chazal, the Bori Priyadoma of Kemach, is like the Bori Priyates of Shemen. Chazal and Misakin, in the Birchas of Paris, the idea of Tomen is there. According to Nachman, that's not true when Chazal were misaking a bracha l'mel yosa. When they were misaking a bracha l'ishtani, so that means that in that case the bird creates is only on the thing itself. So that's what Rif is saying. Since people don't eat the kemach, so it's not the birchas aperi, and it's not the bracha l'ishtani l'uya. So if it gets caught in the middle, so there has to be a shock. So that's then we said that there's another issue floating around in the sugya, and that is exactly what are we talking about. Are we talking about real kemach, or are we talking about kemach that is somewhat parched or produced? So Rashi says real kemach, Teisa says that it's kemach which is somewhat parched or worked. And the Rebbe Yoni quotes that as the Ritva does, B'Shem Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaKohen. Now, out of this comes an interesting quirk of halacha, and that is halacha lemasa. Many Rishonim point out that everything that the Rishonim all settled down are almost on the same side, because as it works out, the Rishonim there's a machleik with the pasuk of Yudhirim Nachman. Right? What's the machleik is based on? Nope. Whether we take Rav Nachman's response as being a response lahalacha, and when in Rav's basroy, I'll talk like Rav. So if Rav and Rav Nachman lock horns at the end of the sugya, so we should go with Rav. On the other hand, if Rav Nachman satisfactorily answered Rav, so then we should pass like Rav Nachman, right? So l'chora that will line up with the machlokes Rishonim. According to Rashi, Rav Nachman gave a serious answer to Rav. According to the Ritva, Rav Nachman was dechuya. So that's why, according to Rashi, it's reasonable to say we'll pass like Rav Nachman. Whereas according to the Ritva, it makes sense they will pass like Rav. Right? Now, it so happens that if you follow through now, Rav Nachman, according to Rashi, is talking about Kemach. And according to, let's say, the Ritva, Rav Nachman is talking about popcorn, granola, parched, edible. But let's say if it wouldn't be edible at all, it would be Kemach. So you make a shock. Right, so now follow through. Rashi, Paskins, according to Rashi, we could Paskin. Rashi didn't tell us. But according to Rashi, we could paskin like Rav Nachman. But Rav Nachman is talking about solas. Right? That means you'll make a shahako on the sol, on the pattern. What about if it's granola, if it's parched and pop, make a dump. Right? It's not the shina. The shina is kemach. But if it's not kemach, it would be diagnosed, so you make a dump. If you hold it to Rivka, that means that Rav Nachman was a dichri ba'alma. So we should pass on like Rava, who holds like Rav Yehuda, and is talking about parched corn. So you make a dom on parched corn. What do you make a kemach? Kemach is hamzacha. You make shakha. So it turns out, ma'alocha, that the two mahalchim converge on lochla maisa. Right? And that's and therefore you open up the tour, Shulchan Aruch, so it will say that on kemach you make shehaka, and on granola and parchment pop kernels you make a barbidum. Right? It's conceivable that there'll be another shita. It seems the Rashba, it seems that they all converge. So even though the Rebbeinu Yoina is very concerned with the rifts. Mahalach Apsak over here. That he passed him like Rav Nachman for a svara that's not even mentioned in the Gemara. But after the day's over, we will end up passing the Psak that's going to be the same. Right? It's a quirk. I need to say it's a quirk. Okay? Baruch, what are you going to say before?
I just had a question on that. Go ahead.
Yeah,
so he says that.
What is that?
It's like, it could be oats or rabbit, or something else.
Is
it barley?
Who's the barley?
I think on the bottom of the goat, the siren.
The way she goes to shul is itself.
Yeah, what is it? Yeah. So okay. It's a different type of.
But that doesn't have any impact on the sugya. We think it's correct. The Bachelet is what she goes to shul is. It's a question of Bachelet, what their oats is. It's a question. But that doesn't really impact this. The point of the Tejas is that if it's something that people eat, so then that's what he's talking about. But if you think something which people don't eat bachlal, that's not the top of the sugya. Right? So how you define shigul or shul itself? I don't think it might be a curiosity in this case. In this case, it might be curiosity. Go ahead.
Is there a difference between Dosh Shibolis and Shibol Shor? Because the Hatzimim suggests that, not that there's not going to be much Shibol Shor, but it might just be Shibol, the gears of Shibol Shibolis.
I don't know. Probably. I mean, Shibolis means that the reference to it not being fully processed. That's all the kernel state. Again, this is all more of a curiosity. Because we know the point that Tetz is making, and we know how to apply it. Right, so by this man is dead, we know. Now, so the final point that I want to make is that the context in which you put the sugya might be related to the way that the Rishon understood the sugya. In other words, that Rashi says it's kemach soilus. The Rif said it's kemach soilus. On the other end of the Ritva said it's got to be an edible form, something which roi people would eat. So it's possible, I can't say it's mukhra, but I think it might be very close, that each Rishon is committed to this approach because of the Mahalach and the Sugya. In other words, if the issue of the Sugya is whether the powder in front of me has the halacha of a pri, has the shein pri. So then it shouldn't, then I can discuss whether it's powder and therefore very rarely edible, or whether it's a parched kernel and significantly edible. I want to know, the question on the table is, whether when Chazal used the word pri, so did they have in mind a processed pri as well? According to Rabbi Yehuda, they had in mind the processed pri as well. According to Nachman, they didn't have in mind the processed pri. Now, if that's the case, how processed the pri is could still be subject to machlokes. Whether it's edible or not is not the issue on the table at all. According to Rashi, it could be on the table, because Rashi is another way of discussing pri, is whether this is derech achilosa. But at the same time, it may not be yotza michlal pri. So Rabbi Yehuda says, if this is what the Rebbeinu Shlom grew, it's a pri. Why should it be a pri? Because I chop it up, because I grind it. It's still a pri. So that's, and Rav Nachman takes issue with it. Okay, when the Ishtani, Ishtani, Chazal did not use the phrase pri for something that's so significantly processed by people. Right? On the other hand, if the question and the sugya is, The concept of making a bracha on ishtane, that ishtane itself deserves a bracha, a dover toman deserves a bracha. And over here, the machlekes from Nachman of Yehuda is whether this which is in front of us is considered to be something that's tomer in the fruit, or better yet, whether it deserves the focus of Chazal to say, "Merabu Maasech Hashem," and at this I can get olive oil, and at this I can get Dvash Tamarim, and at this I can get cake, I can get wine out of this. That's a different question. So then, if you have something in front of you which people don't eat, so it's a shaykh to discuss. Saying Merabu Hashem Hashem, because you're going to have powder. It's true, the powder can get into a cake. So when you get the cake, you'll say Merabu Hashem Hashem. You got Koras Hatoy. So I'm not suggesting a perfect alignment, because the Ritva, we have three shitas, so we can understand two out of the three fit in very well. And that's why you could argue that it's not Mukhra, because the third, maybe you can go either way. But in terms of Avi, I think you see that according to Rashi, where it's together a pri, so then the flowers on the table. According to Ramban and Yoyim, whether it's a question of is this a candidate to be able to make a bracha on Ishtani and Tomun, no, so it's not Roy Lachila, it's not a candidate, it's not a posh. So again, so where can you argue with me in this? You can say, well, the Ritzvah learns the sugi like the Rif, but he seems to be discussing the nature of the sugi itself is more like Rashi. Right? The svar of the sugi is a Rashi svar, and the Mitzias is the Rif Meliyadit Mitzias. Right? That is a. So I don't know if that means that it's not Mukhra. Instead of arguing with me. But I think it fits in very neatly this way. So Lamaisa, if you put Rashi on one side and you're on the other side, and the Ramban on the other side, so you're able to connect the dots. Pshat in the sugya, whether Rav Nachman is a dichui ba'alma or not, right? And then how we would paskin, whether we pass on Rav Nachman like Rava, right? And then whether we're talking about kemach or popcorn, pop kernels, and whether the machlekes is a discussion about the getter tree or the as everybody says, the din rishon, the bracha, the two different nuschois of bracha, the bracha that's on the raw product of the Kodesh Baruch Hu or on the koyach hishtanos. All right. Good. Let's take a few moments out. We finish up and begin discussing on Tuesday the various different elements of the Davening Yom Kippur. Center Yom Kippur is the Avodah in the middle of Musa. Probably the Torah and the Shamma forms Chaseinu. There are many parts of the Avodah. We won't go into one is that by learning the Avodah, says Keilu, one is as close as possible to be able to have the zechuyas of the Avodah. It also, right after the Avodah, so we say Yeslichas, out of being yearning for the return of the Avodah. And then, we are misfollowed with the zechuyas of Misa Sadikim, Eva Ezkira. So one of the zechuyas that with which we're mispallel is the Yud Gimel Midas Irachamim, which is the core of Slichas. Almost all of Slichas is just different ways of introducing the idea of the Yud Gimel Midas Irachamim, and then Vidu at the end. And the Yom Kippur itself, so all shul say the Yud Gimel Midas Irachamim during the Ila, I think all say by Kol Nidre, no? And also B'shachet Tzoh Sefer Torah. The Rav felt very strongly that we should put Slichas back into Shachris, Mincha, and Musaf. I think in the Yeshiva, I assume we still do. Right? And the Aruch HaShulchan explained that probably the reason why we stopped saying Slichas at Shachris, Mincha, and Musaf is either because because there were so many different neschois of slichas that the machzorim, instead of printing them, the machzorim said, "Kan erim slichas." Every community said, "Each kilu kim in hagai." So a kilu which couldn't afford to publish the slichas, no slichas. No, it's not the machzor, they had their own slichas. So he said, "That's what happened, right? That's why we lost slichas." Others said, "The chazanim." When Chazonos came to its peak, so we didn't. They didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't work it in. So therefore, it lost. But as a result, one of the Yesedis of the Tefillah of Yom Kippur is missing. So Yud Hashem, when you get older, you'll either introduce it to your shul or your bizecha to move to Bergenfield. And in Bergenfield, we say Slichas Shachrich Mar. I used to Xerox it. And then two Balamatim got together and they said that they'll finance, they'll publish a little book. I got one of the Talmidim 7 years ago to translate it. So I picked out the Slichas as an academic machzor by one of the professors in Hebrew U, with Shabbat. It's good, I think. So I went through all the different Slichas. And I picked those that were the shortest, the easiest to understand. And the shortest minig is to say, I think it's five or seven times to say the Gemil Sirachamim. The truth is that I think in B'nai Shurin, they even do a better idea than Tina. What they do there is that if you look at the Avodah, right after the Avodah, there are sleepers that are left into the Machzor. So they say the Yud Gimel Sirachim around those slichas. At least that's how they chafed back in the Musa. I didn't do it. I didn't chafed probably. But But I didn't do it because in the academic machzer, they don't have these aslichas. So therefore I thought maybe it's not the original minute. So what we do is an original minute. So that was a little bit longer. But we have that schus. What is the point of saying the Yud Gimel Midas Serachamim? So we know that that was the tefillah that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael on Yom Kippur, right? Parshas Vayechal, or at least in the getting Kapar of Pchei Ve'Egel. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Atef Kishliach Tzibur, right? And Kol Zman She Yisrael Nesuna Mitzora Esu Lefonai. Kazos, we're in trouble. We should say the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. It's a tefillah. The question: what's the point of saying Hashem Hashem Kavachem Racham and Erechapam Kulu B'chol? There's a very common approach that is medayik in the word Asula Fanai. Right? That it's not really a tefillah. It means do become a Racham, become a Chanan, become an Erechapayim. The person becomes. Better person, Rav Nachum Mendel Kasher pointed that out. But L'chayr, even though it is that is true to a certain nusach, that is not the common nusach, it's Emor L'fanai. And L'chayr, even though it's an easier pshat to swallow, L'chayr is not correct. Why is that? Because in Parsha Shalach, Moshe Rabbeinu davens, V'atol yigdal v'koyach Hashem kasher dibarto leimor, Hashem erech afayim v'abchesed esi ovei v'meshev nake leinake poikin avonomis obonim al shuvah rameh. So you see, it's a tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu did not go around Klal Yisrael and give Musar Shmudim. He didn't have vadim to work on the various midas. He was mispala. And the posuk v'yayimah Hashem so lachnikin v'recha l'chayv l'ani is daiti. Why do we say it in Slicha? So why do we always say Kirachim Amal Bonu Kirachim Shem Leinu, and then say Kashin Asodim Adem Shem Vareinu Shem Lemar VaYoyim Hashem So Lach Dikin Verechos? Because we're are we misspelled to Kadosh Baruch Hu? This is supposed to be a winning tefillah. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us Slicha based on this tefillah. Why is this tefillah so important? Why was the Rav so insistent on going back to the old minhag? Because the Gemara in Shab in Rosh Hashanah says Bris Kusa Lefana Shelo Techezer Esreika. Bris the Kadosh Baruch Hu that to say this tefillah will always be answered in some measure. How can you not make use of that bris? Furthermore, the Ramban in Parshas Shelach. I think gives us a tremendous insight at what's pshat in the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim. Because the Ramban is bothered by the question of why did Moshe Rabbeinu not employ all Yud Gimel Midas? Why did he say Hashem? He didn't say Hashem Hashem. He didn't say Kel. Hashem Erech Apayim. Reb Chesed. They say Ovid Vav Al Pesha. And we remember the Ramban. It's in Perek Yedal Tosh Yedzayin. No. Ba'ato yigdal no koyach Hashem. Hashem dibarto leimor. So Ramban says, what did he mean? Kil rachum mechanon, what did he say? Hashem, Hashem, erech apayim. Rav Ches, he left out Kedirachon v'chanon and Emes. So the Ramban says that he couldn't mention Midas Emes because Midas Emes wouldn't have worked in this case. They had done a terrible thing. They said the Chedim Ragla. Now, we don't have time now to go into this, but that requires a lot more understanding because the Ramban in Parashas Lech Lecha explains that Midas Emes is one of the Midas of Rachman, which the Lechon has to be. Why would Kodesh Baruch Hu give us 13 Midas of Rachman, one of them is in the Emes? But that's the Tzorach Yingol. Right? We can explain it. However, the point that we're saying is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not view the Yigum Midas as a magic formula. He neither viewed it as a way of improving those Midas, nor did he see the magic formula. Because if you saw the magic formula, then he stick the formula, right? Stick the nus, right? He saw himself as appealing to various Midas of the Kodesh Baruch. So why didn't he say, Noitzeh Chesed La'alofim? Because Noitzeh Chesed La'alofim means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching over the Chesed that the Avos deserve to have, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu is watching it over for their thousands of children. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, how can I see the Jews just rebelled against the land of the Avos? Kodesh Baruch Hu promised them to Yaakov the children will get Eretz Yisrael. They just said, not now. So I'm going to start saying, have achmanas, and the children of Moshe and Yaakov. If the children don't have achmanas, if they're not keeping our end of the deal, so how can Moshe come to Kodesh Baruch Hu and say that you promised the parents to get married to Yisrael? So you see from this Rabban that the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim are different forms of tefillah, and we're not Moshe Rabbeinu, so we don't have the ability to start figuring out which midah we're going to appeal to. So we don't touch the nusach, right? Yeah, it could be that like, Yisrael is going to get very nervous about having reintroduced the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim. Sometimes I wonder whether maybe that's why it fell into disuse, because it's a dangerous tool to play with. But the fact is that we do say the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim before it saw Sefer Torah, everyone says every single drink called Divin drink Iwa. And doesn't this start saying Monday or Thursday? Yeah. So and they say the whole thing. So now the worst saying is that we're saying we can't really play around. We're not so clear on what every midah is. So we're not fooling around with the midahs per se. But you see from this passage in the Ramban, and you see from the way that Moshe Rabbeinu himself uses it in Torah, that it is a tefillah. It's appealing to various midahs. And the Ramban said, I don't know why he didn't use Rachel Mechana. But apparently there was some reason not to use Rachel Mechana. Explain, let's say, Bekitzer now, that if we look at the Tefillah Vayechal, we mentioned this in passing on Tuesday. When it says, Vayav Hashem Alpono Vayik V'chule. So how does Moshe Rabbeinu daven in there? Why get upset with the people that you've taken out? Okay? That's why you should get upset. Why should you get upset with the people that you took out of Mitzray? What kind of a time is that? That's Vagadno. Should get upset. So apparently what you have to say is that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, why should you not follow through in your investment? You're talking about a Mitzrayim. So why should the Koyach of the Kodesh Baruch Hu fall flat? Why should the Nisim fall flat? Loma Yecher Apcho Vem. You tell a parent. The parent's very upset that the kid isn't listening. Nope. So you tell the parent you can live your life being angry with your kid. Or it can take pride. Kid becomes a big common problem. It could not become doesn't go in exactly the professions the parents want. The parents can spend their years being angry and upset and lose out on having nachas. Or they can say, look, you know, we invested so much, we can at least get some nachas. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, Moshe said, Kodesh Baruch Hu, look, why destroy them? If you destroy them, what's going to happen to Yis Mitzrayim? Loma Yemer Mitzrayim Leimor, Beroy Tziyam Milah Rogesim Behor Mechalesim Mial Pnei Adoma, Shuv Mecharein HaPecho, Minach Al Aroli HaMecho. So why should the Mitzrayim to be explained the other day, why should we lose in the Kiddush Shem Shemayim? Zechor li Aram Shel Yaakov, Eshe Nishbatu Mem Boch. So on one level, the tefillahs of Moshe Rabbeinu are exactly what we described on Tuesday. They're tefillahs of Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Let's make the biggest splash we can out of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Destroy the Jewish people, the nace of Yitzias Mitzrayim becomes a nothing. Yitzias becomes a nothing. So Lom Yechar Abba, because out of anger and aggravation, they're upset. So that's what Moshe says by Yigdal No Koyah. Because Baruch Hu can become greater now. And the same thing with Lom Yechar Mitzrayim. Why should we lose the Kiddush Shem Shemayim? So Chol Yarvom might be the same thing. I'm not sure. It might be a different field. So the Yud Gimel Minas Rachamim, we were misfollowed to Kadosh Baruch Hu that we will be Mekadesh Shem Shemayim through the Yud Gimel Minas Rachamim. That if Kadosh Baruch Hu shows us and described on Tuesday, Rachmanas, so we will give high profile. And we will continuously remember the Rachmanis and Shabbat Hashanah. Yigdal no koya. We will take a great note, and it will become part of the way that we function, that we think. And it will be mefarsim. We will be mefarsim these meters of the Kodesh Baruch. The Adam asked about the need of Mavir Rishon Rishon. Because Mavir Rishon Rishon gets the highest profile of the Midas probably. If you think about it. Right? Kel Melech Yishu Gidei Rachman Nesei Machasidus Rechol Nesei Mavir Rishon Rishon Mavir Rishon Rishon Mavir Rishon Rishon. So of all the Midas that we the Midas of Mavir Rishon Rishon, the Gemara says that's the Midas of Rav Ches. Mavir Rishon Rishon means that the first few offenses, the Gemara says, identifies that with Rav Chesed. So, Aniyah's diet means the following. The Midah of Mavir Rishon Rishon, what does Mavir Rishon Rishon mean? What is it that Baruch Hu is Baruch Hu the first few times? Why is he Baruch Hu the first few infractions? Because the first time, the second time, it's out of character, it's not a slip-up, it's a mistake. it happens over and over and over again, so it's no longer a mistake, it's no longer, I don't care. So the Mida Mavir Rishon Rishon is to be done on us with a tremendous, with an ayin tov, and with a tremendous sense of confidence in Klal Yisrael, in what we are, and how He made us. That might be pshat when we call the Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. Because we're all have confidence in us because we've been the Avraham Yisrael Yaakov. So then, that's the meat of Erech HaPayim also. When it means that the Baruch is Erech HaPayim, so what is it? What's Erech HaPayim? Slow to what with? Why is slowing to anger? Why is a person slow to anger? Because he's a nice guy. He doesn't get worked up quickly. The meat of Erech HaPayim, when you think of it in terms of the Baruch Hu, means that he has confidence in Klal Yisrael. When a person is Erech HaPayim, it's because they understand that this does not define the relationship, not who the person is. There's something that they made an error. So when we turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and appeal to some of these midos, so we're saying Erech HaPayim, Rav Chesed. So what we're really saying is that ultimately a Kadosh Baruch Hu's confidence in the Klal Yisrael will be fully realized, and that'll be a great Kiddush Shem Shemayim. When we're Zoche, Medrash says at the end of Malachi, the Yalkut says that when we leave the Golos and the back there is Yisrael, the nation of the world will say, this is the right thing. The right. God chose the right people. These are people who deserve Google. That's a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. Moshel, just as we rebounded in 48, that's a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. It was clear to the entire world that we're not a normal people. For those who were more open and tuned, it's clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was restoring these people. But that's an insight into how Klal Yisrael carries the Kiddush Shem Shemayim with the Rosh Hashanah. So when we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Erech HaPayim will lead to a Kiddush Shem Shemayim, it means that the people of the world will understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls it right. These are the people that have made such a strong and pure metal that they deserve HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance and rachmanis and patience. The same thing is true on the personal level. On the personal level, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Vasa Vidam. We have a nitzes of Kedusha inside of us, we have the Neshama inside of us. We're constantly in battle and in struggle. But the core is one that can produce for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So when you appeal to Kadosh Baruch Hu's Midas and Rach with Erech HaPayim and Chesed and Mavir Rishon Rishon, so what we're saying, the tefillah of that is, like we say, Kol Dinayin Al Teifa Mayetzer. Don't look at the Bosh of the Dom of the Yetzer. Look at the and everything which is inside of us, which wants to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So these are some of the ideas that can frame the tefillahs of the Yom Nirov of Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a tremendous opportunity, as the Rambam writes. Yeshu Hashem, of course, the Pasuk. Yeshu Hashem, we must have been more so. Kiru V'yesi Kavri. So it's a little bit frightening that the Aseres Meitshuva already coming to a close, the Achesh Ben HaNefesh, whether one has made use of the Aseres Meitshuva, sometimes we get so busy. You don't think about Dirshu Hashem being one thing. A certain kibbutz of Kibbutz Baruch Hu, a certain aliyah ruchnius that Kibbutz Baruch Hu makes available to us. It's really a Yom Kippur. No matter where a person is. Famous words from Yitzchak Blaser. The Rambam says that the person doesn't do tshuva, drink serious make tshuva, so then he gets a bad gzaydin. So Yitzchak Blaser says that doesn't follow from the Rambam. The Rambam says that we have zchuyis and we have averis. It's a mathematical approach. More zchuyis with tzaddikim, we get a good gzaydin. Other way, right? So why does the Rambam say that by Yom Kippur, so we're all beinanim, so the Rambam says we're all beinanim, we should see those beinanim. If we do tshuva, so comes Yom Kippur, we'll all get nechtam in the sefer of Chayim and Broch. He should say, if you were mitzvahs, you've got to make sure that you're always ahead, doing more mitzvahs than averus. Do an averus. The two mitzvahs. Right? Stay ahead. So why does the Rambam make it dependent on tshuva? So there are many answers. If you see Blaser's answer, Talmud of Yisrael Salanter, he said the answer is that if a person doesn't do tshuva, that it's such an egregious offense that one will not be able to overpower that offense with mitzvahs. If the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives you a chance to do tshuva, the person doesn't take advantage of it. So it's going to be hard to beat out that aveira. The moshel is a king puts a person in prison, locks him up, but he gives the guy a shovel. Tells the guy, locking up, start digging, you'll get out. So when the king brings the person back for to be considered again, and he says, what's the guy? When are we bringing the guy back? He gave him a shovel. He didn't try hard enough to get out. He's okay with being labeled a criminal. He's okay with being in prison. Now I'll come down with him and be a citizen. He had a shovel all the time. Why didn't he use it? Why didn't he start digging? So that's what Rabbi Yisrael Blaser says, that's pshat. That's the chesed and nefesh has to make you a serious way true. And every day, Kadosh Baruch Hu has given us opportunities. So the ikir all it is the learning being. Learning being is one of the most powerful tools of shaping oneself up as a ruchnius. One has to focus on these things. Good. Okay, we'll dive in mincha. Shalom yizoyche. All the brachas of the Kedusha Yom Kippur. The Chilah Gemurah, the Shulah Gemurah.